And what's going on, everybody? Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. You can watch on YouTube, on Twitter, all those things as well. Welcome in to another edition of Chasing Checkers. Excited to have you here with us. Today, Chase McCabe hanging out, and I'm here every Saturday at 9 o'clock. And we talk NASCAR, we talk really all kinds of racing. IndyCar is going to, we're going to get into that a little bit more as we get closer and closer to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, which is coming up in August. So really excited about that. But, you know, today we're gonna talk a lot of NASCAR as they get ready to go road racing again at Sonoma. But I will say this. Congratulations to Elio Castroneves, who won the Indianapolis 500. And he did it at the ripe age of 46. So I thought that was awesome. What a run by him to get that done. He got the move. He planned the move just at the perfect time and was able to make the pass and win his fourth Indianapolis 500, which was fun. I was cheering him on. Elio is going to race in the Grand Prix. He's going to actually race at for SRX this summer, Tony Stewart, Ray Evernham's deal. So he's going to do that, and we'll be out at the fairgrounds. So I was excited for Elio because that was really cool to see him win his fourth Indianapolis 500. But it was also the Coca-Cola 600, so the Memorial Day double with NASCAR and IndyCar. Usually Monaco is that morning, but it was the week before this year. But a fun day of racing, one that I know I always enjoy. And Kyle Larson gets his second win of the year, and the record is broken. Hendrick Motorsports. Rick Hendrick is the all-time winningest driver in NASCAR history, passing Petty Enterprises with that win, 269 to their credit now, as the all-time winningest team. And I think that's such an accomplishment. And you think about all the drivers that have worked for Rick Hendrick over the years, and immediately you go to Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, as you should. They're the two best by far. But Tim Richmond, who knows what he could have been if he had not died. Terry Labonte. We'll see what Chase Elliott becomes. Casey Kane, which, you know, he didn't live up to the expectations there. Dell Jr., in recent years, Ricky Rudd, Jeff Bodine, Kyle Busch started his career at Hendrick. I mean, he's had a ton of talented drivers come through that place, and they've done a lot of winning. And again, you know, Jeff Gordon accounted for 93 of them. I think Jimmy had 83 in his career, but pretty cool. And Kyle Larson was the one to do it. And what I think is cool about that is, now, many might look, and I do, Hendrick was taking a shot at signing Kyle Larson. Now, Kyle Larson was, after the incident on iRacing, he said the racial slur, he was suspended from NASCAR, he was fired from Chip Ganassi, all his sponsors pulled. You didn't know if any team would take a chance on him. Now, I know the rumors have been out there that it could have been Larson to replace Jimmy Johnson in the 48. I think everybody has always looked at Kyle Larson and said that guy is a talented race car driver. He should win a lot more than he does. Just put him in really good equipment and watch what happens. And, you know, for whatever reason, the last few years, Chip Ganassi has just, you know, and I think it's because his focus has always been really on his IndyCar program. He's done a lot of winning in IndyCar, and the NASCAR program has been okay. They've won races, but not to the level of a Hendrick Motorsports. And so Kyle Larson comes over. Really, we could probably say he's maybe four wins is what he, you know, Dover, he was dominating. But Bowman's team had a great pit stop. Bowman got past him on pit road, never gave it back. So that was one. Vegas, he had a really, really good car. Probably should have won. I mean, there's a few others. He's on fire right now. And you sit there and you think, okay, well, he's got two wins. What could he do? What else could he do at Hendrick? And he's just, you know, a handful of races in to his career. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago of it's really come together in a short amount of time at Hendrick Motorsports. So what could happen? But he was asked post-race the expectations and if those expectations, if things have lived up to the expectations or if it's been even more than he expected.
I did not expect to be this good. I'd hope to. It's still early in the year, but I don't know. I knew I'd be good. I mean, Chase Elliott won the championship last year, and Jimmy had, you know, one of the fastest cars every race. They just kind of had some issues, and they didn't get the finishes that they quite deserved. So I had that in the back of my mind and thought, well, if, you know, Jimmy had the fastest car, you know, maybe we would still continue to have one of the fastest cars this year. And Cliff and everybody at Hendrick Motorsports, is they've probably gotten their stuff even better than where they ended the year. And it's been awesome to see. Like, looking at the scoreboard, we had four cars in the top five is pretty dang cool.
Kyle Larson on his expectations at Hendrick Motorsports. And yeah, listen, you know, I think that the expectation for me when this was announced that Kyle Larson was going to Hendrick Motorsports was he's going to win races. He's going to be really good. He's going to be in the best equipment, you know, that Chevy has to offer. Probably the best equipment in the garage. You know, there are ebbs and flows, as we all know, in this sport. But he was going to be in the best stuff. Now, did I think it was going to happen as quickly as it did? No. Did I think, and I said earlier that he should have won Vegas. He did. I'm trying to think of the other one that I was talking about, Kansas maybe. But anyway, you knew he was going to win. I just didn't think it was going to happen as quickly as it did, and I didn't think he was going to be as dominant as he has been to this point in the season. But he has. And, you know, to me, that's going to continue. And Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, as we've talked about, they're clicking on all cylinders right now. I mean, if you're going to say, I mean, Bowman has probably, as we'll look at the standings here, you know, Bowman right now is the one that he's 12th in the standings, but he has two wins, and his team has put him in the right place. But, you know, they're the ones that are trying to kind of get on the same level as Larson, Byron, and Elliott, who are second, third, and fourth in points. Larson with the two wins. Byron got one way earlier in the year at Homestead, and then Elliott a couple weeks ago at COTA. Chase Elliott going to join us at 9:30, by the way. So, you know, I kind of look at that as, well, still, Bowman's got two wins. Hendrick Motorsports, they're running pretty good as a whole. But I think that the sky is going to be the limit for Kyle Larson. And the other question was, what did Rick Hendrick, the owner, expect with him? And he commented on what he believes Kyle Larson can do.
Kyle is he's an awesome talent. I mean, he is just some of the moves he makes, what he can do with a car in different situations, find a place to run on the track. He's got an awesome amount of talent. I mean, you know, I knew he was talented, but you see him in sprint cars and midgets and everything else. He races almost three or four times a week. But, you know, it's the guy's just, he wants to win. He's super dedicated. He's all business. And, yeah, he's just got a tremendous amount of talent. And, you know, Cliff's got a lot of talent. And they have, the chemistry there has been much better and quicker than I thought it could be. And, you know, I just see great things between those two, you know, the rest of this year and into the future.
And I do too. I really do. And I brought that up to Kyle a couple weeks ago after a race, And I asked him in post race, I'm like, were you surprised that the chemistry has, you know, between you and Cliff and you and Hendrick has come together as quickly as it has? And he, you know, you heard it there that with the earlier with the other clip that, you know, he expected a lot, but it has come together faster. And Rick Hendrick said that too. But to me, that shows you just how talented Kyle really is. And everybody knew that. It just, there was a, he had to go through what he went through last year. He had to, and he should have, and he learned from it. And I can tell that he's humble. He has learned from it. He is, I think he has taken that lesson and applied it to now and appreciating things a little bit more, being more cognizant of things and knowing that he's in really good stuff. He's at the best team in NASCAR and he can't mess that up. So, you know, I think that it certainly humbled Kyle Larson with everything that he went through. But the question is, I'm putting this on Twitter at @Chase_Checkers. How many more races do you think Kyle Larson can win with Hendrick Motorsports this year? I honestly, I'd say probably two or three. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if we're talking at the end of the season, he's 5 or 6 wins, which he's never done in his career. You know, the knock on him has always been a lot of second place runs, which he's had those this year. But I think you have seen what he's capable of doing. Chase Elliott, who is going to join us at 9:30, he was right on his I'm not going to say he was right on his tail, but he was running after him in that race, and he talked about trying to get to Larson if he thought he had anything for him.
Yeah, great. You know, great question. He definitely did a better job for sure. I mean, I thought he did the best job driving and being able to, you know, make pace and not abuse his tires each run. So yeah, I mean, best driver, best car won tonight. And, there's no doubt. So I think for us, we just look ahead and I'm excited for more opportunities. That's all you can do when you get beat is look ahead and be excited for another chance.
Is it frustrating for you at all now that you've come so close in 2 straight Coke 600s and just haven't gotten to victory lane yet?
Obviously I would love to win, like anybody would, but we didn't last year and we didn't this year, and that's just what it is. So onward.
There you go. Chase Elliott, onward. The results of the Coca-Cola 600, if you're watching on YouTube, on the side of your screen, Kyle Larson leads 327 laps to win the race. Stunk up the show by leading so many laps, but hey, that's okay. He will take that. Chase Elliott comes home second. He led 22. Kyle Busch wrecks the Hendrick top four straight again. Kyle Busch with a third-place finish. A good run for him. William Byron, who has been solid this year. Another top five for him. He led 19. Alex Bowman finishes fifth. Austin Dillon, a good run for that RCR team in sixth. Denny Hamlin, seventh. Still the points leader. Chris Buescher continues his string of solid runs and top tens. He is in. He comes home eighth. Tyler Reddick, ninth. Kevin Harvick rounds out the top ten. I thought Kevin Harvick was close to winning, but it just seems like something's a little bit off with SHR right now. Brad Keselowski, a lot of rumors surrounding him. He's 11th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 12th. Ryan Blaney, 13th. Bubba Wallace, 14th. Daniel Suarez, 15th. Eric Jones, 16th. Joey Logano, 17th. Matt DiBenedetto, 18th. Corey LaJoie with a nice top 20 for him in 19th. And Michael McDowell, the Daytona 500 champion, rounds out the top 20. So there you go. The Coca-Cola 600 is in the rear view. Sonoma. The Toyota Save Mart 350 coming up this weekend. That is what we will be talking about. But when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, we'll get more into Hendrick Motorsports and why the future is so bright for Hendrick Motorsports and what to expect moving forward. We'll do that when we come back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game on The Game Nashville app as well. little Nirvana bringing us back on a Saturday morning. If you miss anything from the show, we'll podcast it all. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. You can go to thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. I have a lot of different exclusive racing content at chasingcheckersradio.com as well. Coming up, Chase Elliott's going to join the show at the bottom of the hour, and then also a special thing involving the Nashville Super Speedway to end the show before Sunday Money. But Hendrick Motorsports is dominant. Hendrick is the winningest owner in the history of NASCAR. And you think about, as I said earlier, all the drivers that have come through there, all the success, all the championships that he's won. But look at his team now. I mean, this lineup that he has right now, to me, it's just full of talent. Chase Elliott's already won a championship last year. He won at COTA a few weeks ago. You know, he takes over the 24 car when Jeff Gordon retires. He has a couple of just, you know, learning years in the Cup Series, doesn't win. They switch to the 9. He starts to win. He's already got 12 career wins, 6 of those on road courses, but he's popping off those wins now. So you have him. Alex Bowman was one that when he was tabbed to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr., everybody goes, what are you doing? What, really? Bowman? But Dale Jr. supported him. Rick Hendrick supported him. And guess what? He's winning. He has won in the 88, and now he's won 2 races in the 48. I'd say that's pretty darn good. You have William Byron, who is this prodigy that came up through Junior Motorsports, was an iRacing expert as well. You know, he's starting to win. Things have come to him a little slow, kind of like Chase Elliott. But you look at the runs that they've had this year. I mean, he's consistent. He's right there in the top 5. And I would say he's probably going to win another race or two this year as well. And then Kyle Larson, who we talked about in the first segment, adding him to the fold, knowing that he was a proven winner and knowing that if he was just in the right stuff, in the stuff that Hendrick can offer, you were going to see a ton out of young Kyle Larson, and you have. So Rick Hendrick was asked after Kyle Larson's win what he thinks about his lineup that he has now.
You know, number one, I'm very fortunate to have these guys because they're good, good people. I mean, I've worked with Chase since he was 14. William walked up to me at the JRM's shop when he was about 15 and said he wanted to drive one day. You know, Alex, Dale picked him, and he and I are car nuts, and we work together. So, you know, and Kyle is a racer. So I think they have tremendous respect for each other because I sit in the debriefs and listen to them sharing information. And I think the age does have a lot to do with it. I think that they respect each other, and each one offers a little bit that maybe the other one doesn't have. But I'm really proud of the way they work together. And I know there's a lot of teams out here that don't, and I've been one of those teams in the past that, you know, you worried about the friction, and there's no friction right now. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And, you know, he mentions that. I think there was friction for a while between Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. I think they have respect, and but they're both competitors. And, you know, if you think about it, Jeff was the guy. Jeff was the guy for Hendrick Motorsports. And here comes Jimmy Johnson, and all of a sudden, after a couple of years, Jeff Gordon's not the guy anymore. And there was no argument. Jimmy was winning championships. He was winning races. And Jeff's got him on wins. Jimmy's got him on championships. And, yeah, the point system was different. And so I think if you go to the point system in which Jeff Gordon won his 4, it probably evens out. I'd have to go back. That would actually be an interesting exercise to go back and look to see how many Jimmy would have. But the system was the system. And so I think for a while there might have been some friction there. You know, you had Dale Jr. come in there, most popular driver. And I'm not saying that that was necessarily a bad thing. There was competition, but it doesn't feel that way now. But this lineup is young. Bowman's 28. Byron's 23. Larson is 28. So Bowman and Larson are the two oldest, and Chase Elliott's 25. All 4 drivers under the age of 30. I mean, the sky's the limit. They're just, you know, Bowman and Larson, to me, are just entering their prime of their careers. And Chase Elliott's got 12 wins at 25 years of age and a championship. Byron's got 2 wins at 23 years of age and has won Xfinity titles. So I just think that the sky is the limit there with this team. It's probably one of the most talented lineups top to bottom that Hendrick has had in a long time. But I mentioned that competition. You know, they have that competition amongst each other, and I think that's a good thing. And I think it's a respectful competition, but a competition nonetheless. Alex Bowman, driver of the 48, discussed that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, your teammates are kind of your benchmark sometimes, and you always want to beat those guys. You see that in really any type of motorsports. It's really, you know, the only sport where you're going directly against your teammates sometimes. So always want to run the best we can and beat everybody, right? So, yeah, I mean, I think Charlotte was a struggle for us. I was shocked we were in fifth. We really struggled with our race car, but you know, it's great to see the entire company be so strong. I know we were pushing extremely hard to try to be 1, 2, 3, 4 for Charlotte. That would have been really special to kind of add to that night. But you know, William and I came up one spot short. So no, it's been really good. I think, you know, the inner team competition is really friendly, especially at this point in the year. And it's only pushing us all to be better. It's not like a tearing each other down competition. You know, it's like we're racing each other for wins, and we're the four teams are definitely pushing each other to get faster and faster.
And I think if you're Rick Hendrick, you love that. You know, the crew chiefs are going to push the other crew chiefs. You're going to have the drivers push the drivers. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see happen, you know, within this team. And they're all thankful for it. I mean, they're all thankful for Rick. I mean, listen to Chase Elliott, what he has to say about Rick Hendrick when asked what it's like driving for him and about this record.
Yeah, just super proud of everybody. I mean, I've said this over the course of the last couple weeks. You know, Mr. Hendrick's changed a lot of lives, I feel like, throughout the course of his career and what he's meant for motorsports. I feel like goes without being said, he's changed my life. And for that, I feel like he deserves to be on top. I'm a little biased, but I feel like he does. I feel like he treats people with a lot of respect and integrity, and he just goes about his business like someone should. He's a great role model to a lot of employees, not just at motorsports, but across the automotive group side of things. And there's a reason he is a successful man in not only business, but in life. And he deserves to win. He deserves to be on top, and I'm glad to see him be there.
I think a lot of people are. I mean, listen, it would be very easy to say for Chase Elliott. Now, his last name's Elliott. His dad is a champion, Bill Elliott. And he could go anywhere. And you know, that obviously helped him early in his career. I mean, sure it did. Of course it did. But Rick Hendrick saw something in him at 14 years old and said, yeah, he's somebody I want to help develop. He's somebody that I think can win races for us. And he has, and he's won a championship. I mean, there's no doubt. Kyle Larson, did Rick Hendrick change his life? He was asked that question.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right now I'd be twiddling my thumbs in Indiana waiting to race at Lawrenceburg tomorrow, which I'm going to do anyways, but it's much different. But no, I mean, you know, I was happy doing what I was doing last year, but I always had the goal of getting back to the Cup Series and didn't really think it was a realistic thing throughout the summer. Even, you know, when I was winning a lot, I kind of just had accepted that, you know, this was my life, and I was going to have a blast doing it and wasn't going to regret anything at that point. But it all kind of came together, and yeah, for sure it's transformed my life. You know, getting back into the Cup Series and being give you know, given a second opportunity at the highest form of American auto racing is something that I don't think normally happens. So, just very thankful for it and want to take full advantage of it.
And he has, I mean, he definitely has so far. But here's the other thing that I want to, before we get to Chase Elliott, I really want to point this out. Chad Knaus, the 7-time champion crew chief for Jimmy Johnson. Every race that Jimmy Johnson won, every championship that Jimmy Johnson won, Chad Knaus was on the pit box. You think about the last couple of years with Jimmy Johnson, they broke him up. Jimmy didn't win another race. Chad Knaus has been the guy. And now Chad Knaus is off the pit box. He worked with William Byron. He got William Byron his first win. And Chad is now the competition director at Hendrick Motorsports. He is in, he's running all these competition meetings. And you look at what they're doing now. Now, we know they have a history of winning, but I think Chad Knaus being in the role he's in now has been huge. Larson commented.
Yeah, so it's, you know, a little unique for me because I never got to see Chad Knaus in the crew chief role, and I didn't get to see kind of how their competition meetings were run before. But when I am sitting in that competition meeting room and, you know, he's running it, you get to see why he is how he is and how he probably, you know, he takes everything very seriously and you know, he dives in deep to everything and he's very thoughtful and thinks deeper than I've ever been around anybody. He thinks about, you know, a lot of, like I said, deep things that I would never even think would be a thing. And, I think it just shows you how his mind is on racing and how to be faster, how to make all four of us faster, you know, every day of the week. So, he's a great leader and I think the same as Mr. H, like everybody's got a lot of respect for him. And I think his role now probably fits him perfectly for where he's at in his career and with everything he's already accomplished. So he's definitely doing a great job.
Kyle Larson on Chad Knaus. I think that was a huge move from Hendrick or for Rick Hendrick to put Chad in that role. And you know, they were winning races, but now it kind of feels like they're back to the dominant Hendrick Motorsports that we remember from years past. Speaking of a Hendrick driver, Chase Elliott was on Darren Donick and Chase, my midday show that you can hear 10 to 2 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game with Darren McFarland and Willie Donick. We talked to Chase the other day on Thursday about Nashville and other things. You'll hear that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. And we're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can, of course, check everything out at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. Rate, subscribe, and review to the podcast as well. Just search for Chasing Checkers. As you know, I co-host Darren Donick and Chase with Darren McFarland and Willie Donick weekdays from 10 to 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And earlier this week, we were joined by the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion, Chase Elliott, who talked about the historic weekend that Hendrick Motorsports had and also returning to Nashville.
What does it mean to you drivers? We know we've had enough drivers on. We've had you on to know how you feel about Nashville, but to come back and have NASCAR back on the Nashville scene, what does it mean? I know you guys talk, so we've talked to enough drivers. This is a market a lot of drivers like.
I think it's a market that NASCAR needs to be in for sure. It's a popular city, a city that's been, you know, booming here, I feel like, over the course of the last, I don't know, what, 5-6 years especially. But I just think NASCAR belongs there. I would much rather see it at the fairgrounds and hopefully one day we can achieve that goal. But being outside the city a little ways, I think is a step better than we would have had if we weren't there at all. So we'll hopefully put on a good show and try to make everybody want to come back.
Chase Elliott is with us, the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion, and a fun weekend last weekend at Charlotte for Hendrick Motorsports. It was your 200th career Cup start, which is really hard to believe that it's already been 200 for you. But Kyle Larson dominates, wins the race, and Rick Hendrick becomes the winningest driver in Cup Series history. You won the week before to tie it. How special has it been the last few weeks at Hendrick Motorsports?
Well, it's certainly an exciting place to be right now. I feel like we're just in a good place as a company and across the board with how things are operating right now. So we just need to ride the wave the best we can. You know, it's great to get Mr. Hendrick the record. I think he deserves to have it. There's 600 plus employees at Motorsports that deserve to have that record, that have been around for a long time, that put in a lot of work and effort to get to the track each weekend, that don't ever get the recognition they deserve. So all those men and women deserve to be on top, and I'm glad to see them where they belong, honestly. And I think for the rest of us, we're just fortunate to be in a good situation right now. We have fast race cars. And like I said, we just have to ride the wave. You're racing something that it's going to come in waves. You're going to have times where things are good for you. You're going to have times where things are bad for you. And you just have to take them as they come. And right now, you know, things have been good. So we need to make the most of it and make it last as long as we can.
What does it mean now that, you know, Jimmy has moved on, he's retired? I guess from a Hendrick Motorsports point of view, you're the elder statesman. I know Kyle's been in the Cup Series for a while, but his first year there, Alex Bowman, William Byron. Now you have this group of young guys that you're all kind of coming up together, and now it's kind of your show to help take Hendrick into the next era. You know, it went from the Jeff Gordon era to the Jimmy Johnson era. So what does it mean to kind of be at the forefront of that?
Well, I think it's like I said before, it's just an exciting place to be, and it is kind of crazy how quickly it's changed. You know, I remember my first race over there, you know, you had Jimmy, Jeff, Dale, and Casey. And that was their lineup. And then I ran a fifth car there in 2015 for a few races. And just crazy, you know, as there's only been a few of us in that room that have watched it literally change year to year, and then watch the people leave and be able to work with them before they do. So it's honestly an honor to kind of see how that dynamic has shifted, and to see those guys move on and have other things in their life to go want to achieve and enjoy time with their family and do all the things they deserve to go do. But then also to see young guys come in and have the opportunities they have, much like myself and really our entire crew right now. So yeah, like I said, just an exciting place to be, looking forward to the rest of this year and seeing what it brings.
So how would you evaluate, you're coming off your first win a couple of weeks ago at COTA, which that was wild watching you guys try and race in the rain. Let's start with that. What was that like, running in the rain?
Yeah, it was a bit of a challenge for sure. It was raining pretty hard there from the midway on to when they called it. But you know, there were elements of it that I thought were fun. You know, rain racing is definitely different. It's a type of racing that we haven't done a lot. I did it once in a stock car in 2014, I think, but that was really the last time. So it's just different, and you know, there's parts of it that are fun. Obviously the visibility aspect of it and how hard it was raining, some of the standing water became a large challenge there towards the end of the day. But you know, I thought overall it was just different, and I don't think it was as bad as some might have thought, but it definitely was elements of it that were fun. But I definitely think there was a line somewhere, I guess, that had to be drawn to what we could do and what we couldn't.
So with your season, you got the win, you're fourth in the standings, you finished second last week in the Coke 600. Do you feel like things are, you know, I feel like with you, it's always been, you know, you get a handful of races in, and that's when things really start to come together and we see some wins. Do you feel like that things are starting to come together for your team and maybe you can chase that second championship?
I certainly hope so. For us, I feel like we really go about things just like we always do. And I don't feel like we're in a different space today than we were last year or at the beginning of the season. So we just got to keep pushing ahead, keep looking forward to new opportunities, and bring fast race cars to the racetrack and execute good racing. And I feel like our group is plenty good enough to compete with whoever on a weekly basis. And I feel really good about that. So I'm just excited for more chances to go and try to win and keep battling.
What is it, there's another road course coming up this weekend at Sonoma. What is it that makes you so good on the road courses? We've seen you really shine your entire career.
Yeah, I get that. That's been a popular question over the course of this week, and I really don't have a great answer for you. I never really have had a good answer for that question. The best thing I can tell you is I came into a good situation with the team I kind of fell into. Jeff Gordon was a fantastic road racer, one of the best that NASCAR has ever seen. And Alan has a great understanding of road course racing, my crew chief, to be successful. So when you have those two things together and those guys who have built a really nice foundation, and then you have a young guy come in like myself, when that foundation is already built and a young guy is trying to learn, when you learn on a good foundation, it's a lot easier to learn than when you're also trying to build a foundation while you learn. And that really, I feel like, has been probably the biggest piece that has allowed us to do well. So I still think I can do a better job. I feel like our cars we can continue to improve there too. So just all around, I feel like I fell into a good spot and was able to learn and learn fast and learn about the things that mattered and try to get better from there. So yeah, we're looking forward to the weekend. Sonoma hasn't been great, honestly. Sonoma has been that road course that we just have not ever really run great at. So we've tried to dissect some of that going into the weekend and look to be a little better. So hopefully our thought process is on time and we can improve like we think we can.
You mentioned how good Jeff was at road courses and getting advice from him, but whether it's a road course or oval or anything, how much do you lean on your dad on getting advice and running some of these places?
Yeah, and Dad was a great road racer too. I think kind of gets swept under the rug, but he had success on road courses and always really enjoyed them. And I feel like that's a big piece of it too, is you have to enjoy that stuff. And used to you only had a couple road course races on the schedule. Now we have like six or seven. So it's kind of one of those things where you almost have to enjoy it now. But yeah, Dad's always been a great asset and offers his opinion when he feels like he needs to, and I always try to listen to a little bit of everything from everybody and then piece together what I feel like is important from there.
Well, Chase, best of luck this weekend at Sonoma, and we're looking forward to seeing you here in a few weeks in Nashville. Maybe you can win the inaugural Ally 400. That'd be pretty cool.
Be great. I appreciate it.
All right. He is Chase Elliott, the 2020 NASCAR Cup Series champion, drives the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports, and he will be one of the drivers racing at the Nashville Super Speedway coming up Father's Day weekend. And before we get into Sunday Money and setup, Sonoma, an announcement was made this week involving me and the Nashville Super Speedway. We'll discuss that when we come back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 1025 The Game, The Game Now. Welcome back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you, the Toyota Save Mart 350, coming up this weekend at Sonoma. But before we get to that, I want to share some news that we actually unveiled on Darren Donick and Chase, and I will let the president of the Nashville Super Speedway do those honors. We're talking to Eric Moses. He is the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. As race weekend is approaching, Father's Day weekend later this month, the Cup race, the Ally 400 on June 20th. But Eric, I'm excited to have you on because we can finally talk about something publicly that I'm going to be involved with.
Yeah, I love breaking news, and if you're going to break news anywhere, it should be on this show. I wish I had information about Julio, you know, and the Titans, or whether Pekka is going to stick around with the Preds, but I don't. But something equally as important to Nashville Super Speedway. I have had my eyes on this young man out of Middle Tennessee State since I arrived here in September. He is very busy, one of the hardest working guys in the business, and we are proud to say that we're going to have him in our PA booth our NASCAR weekend. Mr. Chase McCabe and our friend Joe Williams will be a mixture of old and new at the Nashville Super Speedway, keeping our fans entertained, announcing what's going on out there, and making it a memorable experience for everybody.
Well, let me say this, because you hit on it, and I'm really glad you recognize Chase, because some people, you know, I know there's a lot of our listeners that follow Chase because he covers the Predators, or they follow Chase because of the race car expertise that he has. But, you know, he is a guy that speaks all these different languages. He can talk about any sport, and it is due to a lot of hard work. So I just love that you recognize that for Chase. I'm really happy for him, and that's a great gig, because as we've been talking about now for, I don't know, the better part of a year, we're about to go into a new chapter of racing here in our city. So this is great stuff. So congratulations.
Yeah, we're super psyched to have the big guy out here with us, and his passion for motorsports in particular is obvious when you meet him, when you listen to him, and got a chance to go down to the Monster Mile a week or so ago and hang out and see how we do it there, and I know, Chase, you're going to help us show the world how Nashville does NASCAR.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And working with Joe Williams, who I know, I believe, Darren, Willie, you've worked with Joe or know Joe from the past. So learning from him and really enjoyed going to Dover and seeing how they do things there as well. So it's going to be fun. And I'm glad, Eric, that we got a sellout crowd on Sunday that we can talk to.
That's right. There'll be plenty of ears there to listen to you guys. And we're just super excited.
There you go, Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, and I'm very, very excited to be a part of this weekend. It's been a very tough secret to keep over the last few months, really. But I talked about it a little bit on Chase and Checkers Radio, but I do want to say that I appreciate what Eric said and everybody that I've worked with. With that group so far, Eric Moses, Gary Camp, Greg Herring, Mike Titoyan, who's the president at Dover. They've been a great group to work with. But, you know, I've been a NASCAR fan my entire life, but mixing NASCAR and media doesn't happen without Darren McFarlane and Liz Allison, because they were doing the race night show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And recognize pretty quick that I knew what I was talking about. I produced that show. I filled in on that show. Got to go to my first Daytona 500 because of that show. And so I really appreciate, you know, both of them, and Darren, and what he's done for my career speaks for itself. But that, you know, I don't get to this without the mix of my hard work and then knowing people along the way. That's what I always tell people in this business. You got to work for it, but it helps to know people as well. So really appreciate it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Real quick, we're running short on time. Sonoma this week in the Toyota Save Mart, 350. Martin Truex Jr. is going for three straight wins at Sonoma. He's already got three to his credit, but he talked about why he's so good there.
Well, three. Hopefully that's not the end of that, but you know, just I've always enjoyed road course racing. That's, you know, we've been going there a long time, obviously, and, you know, been able to figure out some tricks and, you know, some things that work for me, and then really just dialing the car into, you know, the way I like to approach the track and the things I look for in the car. So been lucky to have, you know, obviously great teams, great race cars out there at Sonoma. And for whatever reason, it's just, you know, it's been a really, really good place for us. So need to get some momentum back. This would be a good place to do it this weekend.
Yeah, and he does need some momentum. It's been a little rough lately. Martin Truex Jr. has four road course wins, three of those at Sonoma, one at Watkins Glen, and like I said, going for three in a row at Sonoma. They didn't race there last year. Chase Elliott has six road course wins, leads all active drivers. But Kyle Busch has four to his credit, Kevin Harvick two to his credit. That leads us into Sunday money. We'll do that real fast. All odds are from BetMGM. The favorite is Chase Elliott at plus 210. However, Elliott is not great at Sonoma. He, as many road course races as he's won, they've been they haven't been Sonoma. He's in four starts, one top five, two top ten finishes for him, but he's still the favorite at plus 210. I have Martin Truex Jr. at plus 375. I've told you what he has done there. I'm putting Kyle Larson plus 750 because I want to see what he does with Hendrick Motorsports. He hasn't been great on road courses either, but he's hot right now. Denny Hamlin, plus 1,000. He has a win at Watkins Glen, but not a bad road course racer. And the long shot at plus 5,000, I'm going Kurt Busch, who won at Sonoma back in 2011, and he's a pretty decent road racer as well. So there you go. There is Sunday money. We'll tweet these out as well as the lineup. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Jared Cassidy, our producer, and all of you for listening. Check it out, thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, and wherever you get your podcasts. We're with you next week at 9 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game.